World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm just kind of sitting here lamenting a little bit this morning, and a lot running through my head, especially here on Friday. Had a great opportunity to play golf with Ohio Brett yesterday and spend some time with him. That was good. It's all good. And just pondering a lot today. We're going to do communion here in a minute. Before I get too deep into communion, I was thinking about this. I said it to my wife, in fact, before I came down here this morning. The scripture says that the whole creation groaneth waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I was thinking, I'm going to get to you, Joe. Just, I know you got up early. Hang in there with me. Just right off the top of my head, as we ponder this, can somebody name some big national Christian organization? I'll throw the first one out. Focus on the Scamly. I mean family. Focus on the Scamly. No, family. Focus on the family. What's the next one? Come on, somebody give me another one. Okay, thank you. Family Research Council.
Okay, 700 Club.
700 Club. Give me another one. Come on. Catholic Knights Social Services. Say it again, JT.
Samaritan's Purse.
I could run down a litany of national ministries. Y'all with me? And I said to my wife as I was coming down the, I wasn't coming down the steps when I said it to her, but I was thinking it. I had said it to her and I was thinking of coming down the steps. Just a question of Salvation Army. Thank you, Joe. There's another one. Just thinking out loud here, what would be the number one thing if Jesus Christ were to come and sit down beside us today and we said, hey, Lord, what would you most like us to do? What do you think he would say? Would he say, oh, I want you to come to church and I want you to be healthy and wealthy and wise and happy and spread the love? Do you think that's what he would say? What would he say? Say, Lord, if we needed to correct something here, Lord, what would you want us to do? And in my mind, there was no doubt. First thing popped in my mind when the Holy Spirit asked me that question. let me back up a little bit. Those are my conversations with Ohio Brett yesterday. Why does most of American Christianity think I'm nuts? Just don't answer. Just ponder that. Why do they think I'm radical or over the edge or whatever term they would be? Why don't I have 8 million followers, listeners? Viewers, why don't I? I don't know. Other than, I don't know. So I'm asking this. I asked that question. What would be the first thing the Lord would do? Here's what I think. I think the Lord would say he might even get down on his knees. He might even beg the church, please stop killing babies. Can anybody think of anything higher on the list than that to the Lord? Please stop killing these innocent, unborn children in the womb. Hang on. Stay with me a second. I'm trying to take us somewhere today. Why is the pro-life movement Would you all agree that abortion's important to the Lord? Would everybody agree with that? I mean, I don't even think it would be open for debate. Why doesn't the church care? What if every denomination, by the way, this is how the left wins. The left is unified in what they believe to the destruction of all morality in America. They're unified and they push something through. Why do you think the Save America Act isn't passing? Because the left is doing everything they can not to let it pass. They're unified in their assault. And so those of us who think about Christianity, is abortion even mentioned even in your church? Let me ask you another question. How about the conditioning and programming of your children and my grandchildren in public schools? How about the fact that you and I pay money to teach things that we don't even believe, that are against the laws of God, and the local churches are okay with it? They're okay with it. So you think of all those big organizations. What if every one of those big organizations called a play, and that play was this? Okay, all those big business, millions and millions and millions of people sending in millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to these organizations. What if the leaders of these organizations got into a huddle and they said, okay, listen, we're going to come out of this meeting, and here is the one thing we are all going to attack. And we're going to come out with a plan. In every one of our ministries, we're all going to do the exact same thing. And here it is. Here's the plan, and we are going to end abortion in America. Why don't we do that? And then after we end abortion in America, then those same group of leaders get together again and say, you know what else we need to do? We need to stop the programming of sex information, homosex, gender, just... we need to stop that in our schools too. Let's focus on that next. What would happen if we did that? And why don't we? Why don't we? Is it because the people sitting in the pew don't really care about abortion? Could be. Is their conscience not pricked by abortion? Could be. Why is their conscience not pricked by abortion? Because nobody talks about it. Probably the number one issue. Without life, there is no liberty. Life is the number one issue, and the church won't deal with it. And then they say that Betty's a freak. Ray LeBlanc, he's a freak. He's out there on the street. No. Jesus makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise. See, that's the infiltration, and that's the message that is replaced. We're talking about replacement theology. There it is. There it is. The judgment of God has been replaced by, I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay. Jesus wants to bless you. So I ought to write on that. That's the real replacement theology.
Boom.
The God just loves everybody and just wants to pat you on the back, and he doesn't care. Murdering babies, America doesn't. So we're going to continue to murder babies and then sing, God bless America. How can God bless America? How could he possibly? How can the churches, the pastors, the religious organizations, how can he not see that? That God cannot block or bless America if we continue to kill the little image bearers. It'd be better for you, he said, put a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead even one of these little ones who believes in me. So children really matter to the Lord. Why don't they matter to the church? Because they came along somewhere along the line and said, that's political. Murdering babies, that's a political issue. Because the churches are full of people who've had abortions. They didn't know better. They had abortions. So the pastor sure as hell ain't going to say anything about that. Because the people haven't dealt with their own guilt as a result of it. There's no sin that's not that's unforgivable. Had an abortion, cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, repentance. It's murder. Yes, Lord, admit it. Yes, Lord, I murdered my baby. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Instead, the churches hide it. They don't talk about it. Sitting in the pews are men and women who murdered their babies and are still burdened by it. And the pastors won't talk about it because they know the people are still burdened by it. It's shameful. It's shameful. No woman, no man wants to confess he killed his baby. Nobody wants to. They don't stay away from that. That scab grew over. Don't pick that scab. Yet we tell alcoholics, when they get clean, what do? They go around and tell others, don't drink. Don't do that, man. Don't drink. Don't drink. Don't take drugs, right? How about this one? Don't kill your baby, man. Man, I did it. Don't kill your baby. Right? Where's the church? Where's the church in all of this? And it's cowardice and it's infiltration. And I'm going to try to get into some of that here this morning. And look, if you're out there and you've had an abortion, there's forgiveness. God's mercy is new every day. There's forgiveness. Why would you let somebody else go through that? Why would you let someone else go through that? And the truth is, some people will only not do it if it's illegal. That's why they have laws. It's illegal. Don't drive 80 on the freeway. We're going to pull you over. That is wrong. Don't do it. In fact, here's a $250 fine. Don't do it. That's wrong. But yet we say, oh, you murdered your baby? Oh, that's okay. Well, God gave you choice. What the hell's wrong with us? Whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the way I see it. We don't stand up. We don't speak up. We don't get involved. And then, hey, Brett. And then they call me weird. I'm weird. Because, hey, dude, we got to stop doing that. Hey, pastor, how about telling you people, hey, we got to stop doing this. We got to stop doing this. I don't know the answer. I've already started a conversation. I haven't let Joe get in here yet. So I'm going to let Mel in and James Thomas, and then we're going to go ahead because I brought it up. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, so this is on a different topic.
I know.
Hey, Spencer, if you would pull up the link that I just put in the chat. I want to highlight four different events that are coming up. So this weekend, there's a house church that's happening in Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
Adam Jones is leading that.
Awesome, Adam.
There's a house church happening in Ohio, so
yeah.
There's contact information for both of those. And then next weekend in Oklahoma, we have a house church happening there. Contact Randy Lunsford if you're interested in that one. And then mark your calendars for October. We're going to be having the New Hampshire Huddle with Claudine in
awesome.
October at her event place. So anyway, if you want to get updated on the events, just go to the Liberty Action Network, go to the events tab, and you can find what's happening. Thanks.
Amen. 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 Hey, how about getting in some of those meetings and talking about the hard stuff, huh? About the hard stuff. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation, sons of God. It's our duty to show up. It's our duty to show up and speak up. Despite what they tell you in your cold, dead church, it's our duty to stand up and speak. How do I know that? Go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and love them with you always, even to the end of the age. That was the great commission given to us by Jesus Christ, telling us to go. Don't sit here and let this stuff continue to go on. And the church's message today is come. Come here. Come here. We'll encourage you and you'll feel better and you'll dance around. We'll have light machines gone. We'll have the background music and it'll be the just most wonderful environment. And you can come here and then you'll feel happy and you go home. And then Monday, they'll continue to murder babies and they'll continue to teach your children homosex and they'll continue to teach transgenderism. But you guys go to church and stay inside that little church and everything will be good. I'm sorry. I'm all over it. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, David, this is a Romans 1 thing. You know what I'm saying? This is everything that we our sphere of influence. You know, I was pondering this abortion thing. You know, there's a lot of organizations that used to be really big. The Catholic Church, man, I still have brothers and sisters that that do it. But man, they were so pro-life. I mean, to me, this is what made them shine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, it was. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I was like,
Hey James, they used to be anti-divorce, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I was pondering this abortion thing the other day, and the Holy Spirit said, son, he said, those little babies, their flesh has been removed. He said, those little spirits are with me. Those little spirit beings that God created in the womb, they matured unto maturity in the presence of God, because we don't look in the spiritual realm on this issue. We look at the flesh. God deals in spiritual things. These little babies are, you know, these little babies that were supposed to be the congressmen and senators and inventors, they're up there with the Father right now. They're going to be coming back, bringing judgment on the wickedness of this country when Messiah comes.
Amen. Hey, listen. I hope they're up there. I mean, I mean, I hear you. I hope they're up there. But can I tell you something? If they all go immediately to be with the Lord, well, hell, let's murder them all. That'd be a good Christian thing, right? Let's go murder every damn baby. Then they don't have to go through life. They don't have to go through life then. They won't have to have their heart be broken. They won't fall in love and have their wife go out on them. They won't want to do it. Let's just kill them all. As soon as they're born, let's kill them all. So I'm not making fun of what you just said, but that's where that idea leads. Ultimately, that's where it leads. Oh, we don't worry about them. They're with the Lord. Really? Really? Joe, I'm feeling it, man. Thanks for getting up. Let's not make light of communion. Again, Joe, thanks. Thanks for getting up and doing it.
You're welcome, Coach. But I sort of woke up on my own this morning. Notwithstanding, I got to bed after 11, but anyway.
Well, you finish this up and you go back to bed.
Well, I got work to do.
All right.
Some of that lawyer work you were talking about. Yep. Anyway. The reading this morning is Romans 6, 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Can I interrupt? What shall we say then? Shall we continue to murder babies that grace may abound? Huh? Oh, God, he'll forgive. Oh, he's up. That babies will go be with the Lord. It'll all be okay. Really? Really? Go ahead, Joe.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Boy, my amen on that one. That the body of sin, oh, wretched man that I am. Go ahead, Joe.
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Boy, we're serving sin and don't even know it. We think it's liberty.
For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
Amen.
For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Joe, I want to talk real quickly before you go on the sin of presumption. Do you guys know what the sin of presumption is? the Christian false belief that you can purposefully sin and the Lord will forgive you. It's the sin of presumption. You know not to do wrong, and you choose to do it because it's under the blood. Better be very, very careful with the sin of presumption. All right, go ahead, Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, come to you again with gratitude in our hearts. We are grateful for everything you've done in our lives and what you did 2,000 years ago that we are remembering in this communion as you have commanded us to do. And Lord, we're also grateful for this atypical, unique congregation across this great nation and sometimes internationally. We are grateful that we can come here together, that we can share our views, that we can learn. And even though we often have different views, we are brothers and sisters. We stay in the room and learn and teach and share and grow as Christians. And we are also learning how to step out of our living rooms into our communities and make a difference.
Amen.
And Lord, we put abortion on the table this morning and other things that we have, that we find ourselves often tolerating. Many here have been activists against these things, but notwithstanding that, it's in all of our communities.
Amen.
It's all around this country. It's like a pestilence that you are the only vaccine for, Lord. So we ask that you send the Holy Spirit on a mission to wake up individuals and churches and pastors and leaders and also someone with just the strength to stand up and say, why don't we protest against abortion like we used to? Let that voice rise. It could be the meekest little lady in the back corner of the church. She could be approaching, she could be in her 90s, but she still has a voice and she might be thinking that right now. Lord, let her know that she still, or he or she still can stand up, say that, and make a difference and wake them up. Because if someone who isn't expected to say anything dares to rise and share something that's political and that their pastor normally doesn't discuss, that may shake that congregation to the core and awaken them. And Lord, we remember that communion can be the meal that heals. So let anybody who has something in their body or their spirit or their soul that's really troubling them, that hurts, that they can't sleep, that keeps them distracted, that is taking their life the wrong way, let them put that on the altar this morning, Lord, and let them reach out to you like the woman with the issue of blood. Let them visualize you there, Lord, and say to themselves, if I can touch his garment, I will be healed. And we reach out, we visualize the Lord, and we touch that garment with our spirit. And we receive the healing that is there for us. And we ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions, Lord. Bring us cleansed into your sight, for this is a holy moment. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink, representing your body and blood that was shed for us so long ago. And we come to you with gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. What if all those ministries that I talked about, what if all of the leaders of those ministries got together and said, "Listen, we're going to end abortion. We're going to end abortion, and we're going to tell every one of our members every Sunday, we're going to tell everybody that comes to church that if you do not speak up for the preborn, you are in sin." And what if instead of just having a sanctity of life a Saturday, and everybody goes to Washington, D.C. on January 22nd to sanctity of life and then not do anything about it. Could God's people change it? And why do I become the villain? Because I say, hey, we can change this, you know. We can change this. We don't have to put up with this. We can stop the murder of unborn children. You know, we can stop the slaughter of unborn children. We can stop transgenderism in our schools, teaching of perversion. We can stop all that. What the hell is going on? Okay, so I'm going to show you something. I'm fired up. I want to open it up to all of you. Really, I want to hear what you have to say. I got to show you a couple things first of all. Pull up for me. Which one is it? Which one is it? No, Krishna. I write this down. I make these notes to myself, and then I can't even remember which one it was. C. Pull up C. C. Go ahead, play that.
Ooh, Lord have mercy, honey child. Can I get an amen? Because this pastor I'm about to show you, ooh, this man came in stepping all the way on some truth.
Don't come into this world confused. They come in wanting candy and toys. They want to play. They want to have fun. They want to be hugged and held. They want to run and scream and have a good time. But they don't come in wondering about their privates or about their inclinations or sexual instincts. No. It's unstable, perverted adults that are indoctrinating young children, that are confusing the least of these by planting suggestions in their mind, showing them pictures, and asking them to experiment, at least experiment. I think it is mental child abuse. I think it is psychological brainwashing. I think it ought to be a crime. I think parents ought to rise up, but we've been beaten down, you see, and it's also been held back from us, and the government is silent about it and crooked about it, and they're teaching our children things we don't want them to know, and they're exposing them too early, and they're convincing them of something that isn't even the truth. To me, that is a crime against humanity. And if you are a school teacher who is doing this, you, in my opinion, are a criminal. And if you are a school principal who's promoting this, you are a criminal. And if you're the school board who's pushing this, you're all criminals. You're aiding and abetting perversion, and you're ruining children and our society.
Boom.
Huh? Dare I say it, though? Put it in the chat. Talk's cheap. What's he doing about it? Talk is cheap. Why are we not mobilizing Christians and Christianity to impact the culture? Go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Why are we hiding it? Why won't our pastors and collective ministries not do anything about this wickedness that's going on in this nation? That's my question today. So I was playing golf with Ohio Brett yesterday. I didn't play very well. So that's another story. And I'm just asking those questions. I'm asking you this question. Why am I such a freak? Why am I such a freak? Simply calling us believers, lovers of Christ, to get off of our asses and get involved and rescue the perishing. Why is there something wrong with me? Why does Joel Osteen get millions and millions and millions of viewers without ever asking them to ever do anything? What if Joel Osteen decided that he was going to end abortion in Dallas? See in Dallas? That everyone that comes to his church, they're going to mobilize, and every day they're going to be bombarding, calling, standing up, taking signs like Ray LeBlanc and Betty, going out and impacting the culture. No against baby murder. Does Joel Osteen even mention it, I wonder? Does he even mention it? So we're packaging a Christianity that costs you nothing. It costs Christ everything. And cost us nothing. Best life now. Write a book, sell many of them. Rick Warren. Wonder if Rick Warren's ever been to an abortion clinic. I wonder if he's ever taken his congregation. I wonder if Rick Warren and Joel Osteen, and name some other big name guy, I don't care who that, Focus on the Scamly, all those guys said, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to occupy the abortion clinics for the next year till they end abortion. Would it end? Well, hell, we don't know. Because we ain't even going to try. No, we got rapture fever, baby. Getting bad. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to lift my hands and sing and dance. And then I'm going to go home. And I'm going to live a selfish life. And I'm going to pray that the Lord blesses me and protects me. And nothing bad ever happens to me. Oh, well, what about those little babies in murder? Oh, don't worry about that. What about those kids that are being trained in homosexuality and transgenderism in your public school, which you're paying for? Oh, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't talk about that, coach. It just drives people away. So we have a form of godliness, deny the power thereof, of such men turn away. Bible says that. So I asked Brett yesterday, why am I the freak? Why am I the edgy guy? Why am I the fringe Christian? Because I'm telling people to be salt and light. Does God care about unborn babies? Yeah. Should we? Yeah. Does God care about the education of our children being taught doctrines of demons? That'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than let that happen. You pay for it? You mean to tell me you pay exorbitant property taxes to teach your children transgenderism? Yeah, you know, you don't do that, do you? You don't really do that. Oh, yeah, but coach, look. We're all against that, and it's the end times, and we have the best pastor, and we go there, and he just gives us an encouraging word every Sunday. Well, I just leave there. I'm just so encouraged. Has he done anything to stop killing babies? No, but we just don't talk politics. Anybody tracking where I'm going? Why am I the freak? Randy, why are you the freak? Dave Allison, you're becoming a freak. They're not going to like you much longer. You keep doing. Ray, they already think you're a freak. They're probably running around and saying, you know, that Ray LeBlanc, he's a Christian, but he's not like us. That Betty, that lady that stands out there and holds that sign, she calls herself a Christian, but she's not really a Christian. You understand what's going on, don't you? You understand? And 50% of the people are voting for Democrats who will kill babies. By the way, Republicans don't give a shit about it either. But you know the Republic or the Democrats, you know they're going to murder babies. You know they're going to teach transgenderism to your kids. You know that the assault of the Democratic Party and the Republican, but mainly the Democratic Party, is the destruction of young people. You understand that, don't you? It's our whole focus. Teach them all. Everything all. Teach it, teach it, teach it. And then we're called far right. Huh? Pull up number BB, Elon Musk. Are you ready for this one? Huh? Are you ready for this? You ready? Elon Musk. Can you play it? Doesn't it play, Spencer? Oh, daggone. Where did I? Oh, I got to find that. Oh, my goodness. Elon Musk has the most Christian thing. I can't read that. Daggone me. Daggone me. Where is that thing? Where did I find that this morning? Elon Musk. Talks about morality. Elon Musk. He doesn't claim to be a Christian. The programming going on in our country, and even the good guys won't do anything about it. I'm going to find that email. Somebody come on in while I look. I'm going to find that. Where was that? I know I saved it. Somebody come on in here. Think I'm wrong? You think I'm wrong? A comfortable Christianity? You think I'm wrong? Huh?
Okay.
The average person in church never does anything with their faith outside unless they go feed the homeless.
Hey, Coach. I found a link. I found a link for you. It's in the chat.
Vinny, you the man. Vinny found the link for me in the chat. Thanks, Vinny. Elon Musk. Huh? Elon Musk drops this reporter accusing him of being far right. Are you ready? We just need to play. Here it is, folks. Elon Musk. You better hear this. This reporter accuses Elon Musk of being far right. If you stand up against the government and against evil, you're far right. Go ahead and play it. Hang on. Anybody in their right mind think Elon Musk is far right? This is the way they play the game. They label you, see? They label you. I'm not far right. You look, I'm normal. Most people believe what I'm saying, most Christians, but they ain't going to do anything about it. Play it.
Normal people.
Okay.
What do you call a far right, falsely?
You think is the normal person. Okay.
Yes. Literally, you could go back 10 or 15 years, and these policies were completely normal. In fact, one of the tricks that I think is funny. One thing that's quite funny is to like take a speech from Obama and Hillary, and then go to someone and say who's on the sort of what I call the lunatic left, and say, what do you think of the speech by Trump? I'm like, oh wow, he's the worst person ever. Actually, that was a speech by Obama, or actually, that was a speech by Hillary.
I agree that the center of gravity in this country has shifted. Certainly, the Democratic Party has shifted to the left. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people like Rupert Lowe. I'm talking
right,
about
please.
People.
It's actually just normal people. It's just normal people.
Hang on, freeze it. The fringe right is normal people, is what Elon's saying. It's normal people, normal values. It's not fringe right. It's normal people. That's what Elon's telling her. Go ahead.
And here are the principles. And tell me, which of these sound terrible? That we should have secure borders, that we should have safe cities, that we should have sensible spending. Which of those three are far right fringe?
No,
and I would like to just admonish you and the media for the absurd characterization of the far right. It is false and misleading and nonsense. Please keep this part in.
We'll keep all of this in.
Far right, folks. Far right is normal. They just call it far right to scare you back inside your cocoon. Far right is normal. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, Coach Jim. You started out the show this morning, Lord spoke to me. Deuteronomy 31. If you haven't read the Old Testament, if you've only read the Old Testament where it talks about all the good things about the Jewish nation, the Israelis, you need to go to Deuteronomy 31. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but if you read down through that, you'll see that in there, God told Moses to give a song to the people to remind them why he forsook them. And he says, I want you to teach us, and I want you to sing this song for generations to come. Keep going down there. It's towards the bottom. You'll see someplace where he talks about teaching them a song. And anyhow, going down.
There it is. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you.
Okay. As a reminder.
Teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. So God told them, listen, sing this song. And I want you to sing this song. This is not a worship song. He says, I want you to sing this song to remind yourselves while you defiled me and why I have forsaken you. So, Coach, here's our song. I want them to sing this in church every Sunday until none of this is true. God bless America, land that I love. We defile her and beguile her while you turn a blind eye from above. Our abortions, our sodomy, our idolatry, money we love. God bless America as we watch Pornhub.
My goodness. That's it, isn't it, Dave? Is that ever it? Hey, Spencer, while I'm just sitting there, George, I'll get you here in a second. Spencer, you made that clip for me yesterday. Could you find that for me? Come on in, George.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Yes, my next door neighbor, a couple votes ago, I went next door and I said, the vote's not about weed and it's not about abortion. It's about cutting babies' penises off and the teachers helping them do it. And so he said, I think we're going to vote for that. And then recently, another neighbor was down and I said, I have all of the homosexual books that are in Dublin schools. Can I bring them out? And he goes, we don't let our eyes see those things. We don't let our eyes see those things. And I said, and I didn't. And I said, okay. And he
don't let their eyes see those things. But the kids can learn. Yeah.
But later, as soon as he left, I said to myself, but you're going to let your children's eyes see that? So that's where I'm at here.
That's where we are, George. Yeah, that's where we are. Thanks, George. Hey, folks, I want to play something. This came at a suggestion. I think it was Randy. I think Randy said, Coach Dave, you got to play the last 3 minutes of yesterday's show. So I made it a clip. I didn't. Spencer made a clip for me of the last 3 minutes of yesterday's show. And I would ask all of you to share it on your social media. I thought it was impactful. Wednesday's show. Thank you. I thought it was impactful. Randy said, Coach, you got it. Coach. So play this 3 minutes. Put it in the chat. Folks, you got any courage? If you got any courage, share it on your social media. Hey, folks, we got to wake up. We're fighting the wrong team. We got to clean up our own mess. We got to get our pastors on the same damn page. We become so heavenly conscious, we're no earthly good. Get your damn head out of the stars. We're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're supposed to have an impact here. Let me just throw this in as an aside. My wife said to me the other day, how come you don't get any speaking engagements anymore? And I just looked at her. Here's why. Church is too damn soft. Go ahead and play that. 3 minutes from yesterday, to Wednesday, whatever it is. Put it in the chat and share it. Go ahead. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Breaking the covenant.
So, Randy, we love to hear everybody talking about the covenant that God has with Israel. Does God have a covenant with America? Is Jesus Christ's covenant less powerful in America than what it is in Israel? Let me ask you a question here. Come on now. Did Israel make a covenant with Jesus Christ? Did America make a covenant with Jesus Christ? Yeah. Folks, those aren't the same. Those aren't the same. It's deep, man. What we're dealing with is deeply, deeply spiritual. And the problem we end up in my not so humble opinion, is the whole world, all creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for God's church to quit hiding and God's church to come out and reestablish itself as the pillar of righteousness and the pillar of truth, and the foundation upon which all of the government's going to be founded. See, when they told us there was a separation between the church and state, they said that because they knew how powerful the church was. They knew how powerful the church was. They had to get the church out of politics. And now we got pastors saying churches aren't supposed to be involved in politics, played right into their hands. We elect evil men, expect them to do good. It ain't going to happen. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Look around. The heart of America, Christian America, is poo-pooed. The judges wrote Christianity and its blessings out of the American Constitution. The churches in America today don't care about influencing all the world, which begins in America. I said to Ray LeBlanc, as he's going out today holding a sign, and Betty's out holding a sign, do any other pastors come and join you? No, because they are escapismists, if that's even a word. They're selfish in their desires and their beliefs. It's about me and my and I and us. It's never about go. It's never about teach. It's never about any of that anymore. They told us there was a separation between the church and state. Five judges told us that. We said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, master. Yes, master. And then we sit here today still under that false premise that there's a separation between God and morality. How stupid can we be? They slaughter millions of God's little image bearers, and the church doesn't care.
Boom.
No, boom. It's no more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks. Why am I such a freak? Why? I don't get it. I don't get it. If we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, evil spirit and high, why aren't we wrestling? Why aren't we wrestling? Why are we in the sauna? Why are we in the locker room? I don't get it. I don't get it. George, you still got your hand up. Is that on purpose?
No, sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. Nobody? Okay, come on. I'm going. I got more. Come on in, Judah.
Coach, as we come to understand what has happened in the logic, you know, your left brain, right brain, people have to understand the logic of why we are where we are and what has happened to this point. You know, I've, obviously, since 1965, you know, we can argue and debate. 1974, 75 is when we really lost the wheel in the United States to banker corruption out of London. But the two things, you think about this, and we pray about it from God's perspective. Two things. sound money in sound elections. They really do change a lot from God's perspective down here on this earth. And we come back to this point. And I urge people, even I keep saying this, I tell people, did you watch on 7/16 what the president said? Sound elections.
Well, that's radical.
What got us to this point? Wasn't that we had bad people. It's the good people couldn't win because elections were rigged. None of the people, and probably even almost all of Congress and all of the Senate, none of those people are the people that the people actually elected. On the other side of what's coming, when they all get tossed out on their ear, once we have the ability for a Dave Dobenmeyer to actually run for an office and actually win because people decided to put their paper ballot down and actually be counted, when this does happen in this republic, the tide will have changed. What a time to be alive, folks.
Right in front of us. Huh? Our whole generation is counting on us now. Manifestation of the sons of God.
Yeah, our children. Our children are counting on
us. Judd, whoever told us that the church wasn't supposed to be in politics? The salt of the earth. Somebody help me out here. Doesn't the salt impact everything? Doesn't it? But not politics? What a lie from the pit of hell. Dave Allison, come on in, Dave.
Yeah, real quick, Coach. You're wondering why you're not getting any speaking engagements after this morning. How many singing engagements do you think I'm going to get? How many churches do you think are going to call me?
But they don't call me to sing, so you're in good company there, buddy. Amen. 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 please understand I'm not crying in my soup, okay? Please understand that. I understand that. But I think, and it was, again, the conversation I had with Ohio Brett yesterday, they think I'm crazy. They think I'm crazy. Now, those of you who have been listening for any length of time at all, they could show a clip of me that I appear to be clipped, like that one you just saw. Right? They could show that clip. But everything I said in that clip is true. When did I become the freak? When did I become the freak? When did you become the freak? When did they start throwing you out of your church, Betty? When did the pastor start going the other way when you came to him? When did that start happening? When did the other, like I had a pastor tell me one time, you don't need to lead a men's group, you need to be part of one. In other words, I needed to be domesticated. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on in, Jack.
Please do what you did with the other clip and make one of Dave singing that. We need to take that to every one of these preachers. That needs to be played in church. And that needs to be played on Sunday morning as the anthem. This is our anthem. We need that anthem. That's really good, Dave.
Producer, you got it? He's Dave Allison recorded. He says to you, but we can make that clip, but Dave, you ought to record that. That was so good, man. That was so good. Thanks, Jack. Jeff Klein, come on, Jeff.
Coach, you're asking people think you're crazy. Yeah. I remember years ago, Pastor Flip Benham saying this out in the streets, the enemy was just railing on him, cussing, screaming. They said, "You're a nut." He looked at him, he said, "I might be a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt."
That's right. That's right. And folks, Bible says you're going to be hated of all men. Wait a minute. Doesn't say you're going to be hated of all non-Christians. Says you're going to be hated of all men. Why? Because we challenge them to get off their butt and get engaged, to get some skin in the game. And they don't want to do it because if the pastor sells a nice message, people come and the, I hate to say it, the bank account grows. The ministry expands. And Shakespeare, I think it was him. Yeah, I know it was him. He said, it's full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So much of what goes on in the average American church is fluff. It's just fluff. It's, what's the word? It's programming. It's hypnotic. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, it is. Hmm? Yeah. Singing chants in church. You know you are. Do you have your hand still up? Do you want back in?
Sure.
Sure. Good.
I think this is fabulous or fascinating. For some people who don't know who Mr. Casper is, I know there's a lot of people, you just can't see it yet. And that's okay. What Coach has been doing for years now, and really the last 6 years, has been so instrumental that when it happens, it's going to happen. Why do I know this? What have I seen with my own eyes? What have I witnessed with my own ears? What have I witnessed with my own heart? It's hard to put into words. They want to shut me up. Why? Why have my voice, why has everything been completely stripped so I can't speak in some areas? Because what's getting ready to happen is so huge and so powerful from God's perspective. I know we got naysayers and people. When you come back and you actually look at the value of a formula, and then you work your proof, you work it backwards. That's why you do the proof, because you want to have the answer to the mathematical equation. And once you have the proof, that's what it is. Problem is, most people don't want to show their work.
Mm.
And what we've done is we've shown our work. Anyways,
amen.
President Trump just wrote a letter to Casper. And you could say, okay, who is he? He's a vast person who is a supporter of what General Flynn has done with his last years, being vocal. And actually, I want to read this out loud. Mr. Mastin, thank you for your wonderful gift. You're a tremendous part of our America First movement. Your unwavering support and encouragement means a great deal to me. We're in the midst of the most extraordinary period of political reform in the history of our country. And we will continue making good on our promises to the American people. Every day, I'm finding to make your neighborhood safer, make your cost of living more affordable, and keep the American dream alive and flourishing for your family and every American across this country. Together, we're proud, hardworking patriots like you. We will build a future that is bigger, better, brighter, bolder, and more glorious than ever before. The golden age of America is finally upon us. What does he mean by that?
Mm.
We are only getting started. May God bless you and your family. Commander-in-Chief Donald J. Trump.
Oh.
Just a letter. To who? When you understand that there's people in this movement, we're Christians, we're believers. Then there's a group of people they've stood out. They have been criticized because they've studied, they've gone backwards, they've gone forward, the Q movement. Oh, you're going to get off base here. This is, I can't believe you're going to talk about that. This gentleman stood out, and basically he is a major, what they call Anon. there's no if, and, or buts about it. He has put himself out there as an anon in the Q movement. Okay.
Judd, we're out of time, man. We're out of time.
The president just wrote him a letter thanking him for his continued hard work. And I would challenge everybody, why? Why would he write a letter to him this week thanking him?
See you tomorrow.